ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. భద్రం కర్ణే శృణుయామ దేవాః, భద్రం పశ్యేమాక్షభిర్యజత్రాః, స్థిరైరంగై సుష్ఠు వాగుంసస్తనూభిః, పిశేమ దేవకితం యదాయుః. స్వస్తి న ఇంద్రో వృద్ధశ్రవాః, స్వస్తి న పూషా విశ్వవేదాః, స్వస్తి నస్తార్క్ష్యో అరిష్టనేమిః, స్వస్తి నో బృహస్పతిర్దధాతు. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. మంత్ర 11. సుషుప్తస్థాన ప్రాజ్ఞః మకారస్తృతీయా మాత్రా మితేరపీతేర్వా మినోతి హవా ఇదం సర్వం అపీతిశ్చ భవతి యయేవం వేద. ప్రాజ్ఞః సుషుప్తస్థానః. ప్రాజ్ఞః హూస్ ఫీల్డ్ ఇస్ ద స్లీప్ స్టేట్ సుషుప్తస్థానః ఇస్ మకారస్తృతీయా మాత్రా. The third letter, Makara, due to the similarity of Mithehe. Mithehe means being a measure. Va Apitehe, and being the ground of dissolution. Minoti Hava Idagum Sarvam. So a person who meditates on this in this manner, he knows the truth of all things. Idagum Sarvam. Cha Bhavati Apitihi. He becomes the ground of Laya. Laya means all dissolution. And all that also. This is the mantra 11. We saw this discussion in the last webinar. I am just only recapping them here. So the third equation is presented in this mantra. The third letter Makara is equated to Prajna and Ishvara. Prajna is associated with deep sleep state. So the common feature of Makara and Ishvara, what are that? Both are like measuring cups. Just as the measuring cup, it holds the grain, it is holding the grain within itself, so it is invisible, and pours out the grain, then it becomes visible. The Ishvara also holds the creation in unmanifest condition, and creation comes out of Ishvara as manifest condition. So when a speaker closes his mouth after speaking many words, the sound made is again Makara. So into Makara all words resolve, and from Makara all words arise again. So the second common feature is that both are the resolution ground also. So both are swallowers of everything. So for a Nishkama Upasana, the benefit is the purification of the mind, Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Ekagrata and all. And for Sakama Upasana, the benefit is increased capacity to discriminate and assess everything. So this meditator finally makes the assessment that this world is mithya and that the truth of the world is Brahman. So if a person practices the three meditations, he will be ready for the final meditation, that Brahman is silence, the Turiya Atma. So Omkara meditation should be practiced as Virat, Hiranyagarbha and Ishvara, and this would give mental refinement. We saw up to this in the last webinar. So the Upanishad will give the identity between Omkara and Atma in the last mantra, mantra number 12. So before that, Gaudapathacharya, he comments on the three equations in several karikas, which we will see today. Karika number 19. Vishvasyatva vivakshayam adisamanyam utkatam matrasam pratipattau syat ఆప్తి సామాన్యమేవచ. సో విన్ ది ఐడెంటిటీ దట్ ఈస్ విశ్వస్య ఆఫ్ విశ్వ విత్ ది అకార ఇస్ ఇంటెండెడ్, దెన్ సామాన్యం ద సిమిలారిటీ ఆఫ్ బీయింగ్ ది ఆది, ఆది మీన్స్ ద ఫస్ట్ ద ప్రైమసీ దట్ ఈస్ సీన్ యాజ్ ఉక్తం, యాజ్ ఉత్తమ్ ఇస్ అస్ ఆబ్వియస్. సో మాత్ర సం ప్రతిపత్తావ్. When Vishwa's identity with Akara alone is apprehended, after that, Abti Samanyam Evacha. that similarity of all pervasiveness that becomes obvious. So while relating to the letters, when Vishwa is to be identified with Akara, the similarity of primacy as well as of all pervasiveness, they become evident. So in these three karikas, namely the 19th, 20th and 21, Gaudapada is paraphrasing the three equations given in the mantras 9, 10 and 11 that we saw in the last webinar. No analysis is done. So the karika paraphrases the mantras, mantra 9 here, this one. When Akara is equated to Vishwa and Virat in the Upasana, the common features of primacy and all-pervading nature, they should be in focus when we do the meditation. Karika 20. Taijas yotva vijnanam utkarsho drishyate sputam matra sampratipattau syat ubhayatvam tatavidham. So taijasya utva vijnane, in the matter of knowing taijasa as ukara, utkarshaha, utkarshaha is excellence. That is what is drishyate sputam, it is seen very, very clearly. The excellence is very clearly seen. While relating to the letters, when taijasa is identified with ukara, their superiority is very clearly seen. So also their middleness or the intermediacy. So this is the meaning of ubhayatvam. When it says ubhayatvam here, that's what it means. So this karika, it paraphrases mantra 10. While equating letters and quarters, quarters means the four quarters, that is, you know, the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, Turiyam. So four quarters in general, when Ukara is equated to Taijasa and Hiranyagarbha, the two common features of superiority and their middleness should be kept in focus. So earlier it was primacy and all pervasiveness, and now it is superiority and intermediacy. Karika 21. Makarabhave prajnasya manasamanyam utkatam matra sampratipattautu layasamanyam evacha. These mantras are fairly straightforward. We can easily perhaps understand them. While relating to the letters, when prajna becomes makara, the similarity of being a measure, mitehe, karika 11, when we saw earlier of the last webinar, and the similarity of being the ground of dissolution, they become evident when equated to Makara. Similarly, when Makara is equated to Ishvara, the two common features of measure and resolution ground, they should be kept in the focus when we do the meditation. So now we are talking about Omkara Upasana and Omkara Upasana of all the individual letters, and then we are going to talk about the total Omkara Upasana also. So one should practice these three meditations as stepping stones to the 12th mantra. Karika 22. Trishudhamasu yastulyam samanyam veti nischitaha sapujyas sarvabhutanam vandyaschaiva mahamunihi. Saha. Saha means that person, whomsoever is that person, who knows Brahman nischitaha, firmly. Vedhi, that person knows in the three states mentioned earlier as Tulyam, Samanyam, the common analogies and similarities said so far. He knows all of them. Pujyaha, he is adorable, worshipful. And Vandyaha, worthy of namaskaras, Vandanam. Is a Mahamunihi, he is a great sage, such a person. He is respectable and adorable. So in the previous mantra asked, the Upanishad talked about Sakama Upasana, the benefit of Sakama Upasana, but did not talk about the Nishkama benefit. So Gaudapada Acharya, he is supplying that benefit here. So Nishkama Upasana will give the desire for getting the knowledge of Nirgunam Brahman, namely the Turiya. So the seeker will get the opportunity to get this knowledge. And after that knowledge, he will get Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti. That is the benefit. So the meditator who has got the clear knowledge of these three equations and the pairs of common features are the Omkara letters and Atma quarters. That's what we have to understand. Last class, we spent a lot of time in this. The common features are the Omkara letters, Akara, Ukara, Makara, and Turiya, and the Atma's four quarters, and who practices Upasana with the motive of attainment of Jnanam, he will become a very wise person. He will understand the identity of silence with Brahman. We are going to talk about the silence in little detail later, what the silence means. So he becomes adorable to all the people and will be worshipped by everyone, Vandaniyaha. So worshipping a Jnani gives both material and spiritual benefits. So Upasana will not directly give knowledge, but one has to go through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam for knowledge. All those things, we know those steps. Karika 23. Akaro nayate vishvam, akaras chapi taijasam, makaras chapuna pragyam, namatre vidyate gatihi. So akaro nayate vishvam, the letter akara, that leads the meditator to Virat. Vishwam is Virat. Ukaras chapi taichasam, the letter Ukara, it leads to Hiranyagarbha. And Makaras cha puna pragyam, the upasana of the letter Makara, it leads to the Antaryami. Na amatre vidyate gatihi, there is no travel, na gatihi, no travel in the case of Amatra. Amatra is what? Turiyam. So, after talking about Nishkama Upasana benefit, the Gaudapada, he comes to the Sakama Upasana benefit here. Then why he repeats this benefit when the Upanishad has already talked about it? For all Sakama Karma and Upasanas, the benefits are twofold. This we have seen many times, we are just only refreshing. One is what is obtained in the current birth, and the other is what is to be obtained after death. So the Upanishad has talked about only the benefit in the current birth so far. So Gaudapada Acharya, he describes the benefit after death. So Akara Virat meditation will take the meditator to Virat Ishwara. Ultimately, he will temporarily lose his individuality and samsara after death. Doing Ukara and Hiranyagarbha Sakama meditation, the meditator will temporarily merge into Hiranyagarbha after death until the Punyam lasts. And again, doing Makara and Ishwara Sakama meditation, so all these words, I assume they are all very familiar now. So Makara, Ishwara, Sakama meditation, the identity of these two, and doing in a Sakama meditation, the meditator will temporarily merge into Ishwara after death and not experience samsara until his punyam balance is exhausted. We all merge into Ishwara every time. We are in dreamless sleep, deep sleep. We all merge into Ishwara every day. So Chandogya, Brahadaranyaka Upanishad, and Prashna Upanishad, we also saw earlier, they all describe this thing. And what about the fourth one? If a person practices the Nididhyasanam of silence, Turiyam, identity. So the identity between silence and Turiyam. So in Omkara Upasana, Akara, Ukara, Makara and silence, we said that silence and Turiyam of the Atma, when a person, he meditates on that, he will not go anywhere after death. He doesn't have to go anywhere. Samsara and rebirth are permanently over for him. Whatever is infinite cannot travel from one place to another. What is travel? He is moving from a place where you are to a place where you are not. That is travel. Whereas infinity, it is there everywhere. So the infinite is one in which everything travels, but it itself does not travel. So with this, Gaudapada Acharya, his commentary on the three equations is over. Now we will come back to the Upanishad portion, the last mantra of Mandukya Upanishad. Mantra number 12. Let us read. Amatras chaturto vyavaharyaha prapanchopashamaha shivodvaitaha evamonkara atmaiva samvishatyam atmanam atmanam yagevam veda. ఇట్స్ ద లాస్ట్ మంత్ర ఆఫ్ మాండుక్య ఉపనిషత్, ద ఉపనిషత్ పోర్షన్. సో అమాత్రాస్ చతుర్థ, చతుర్థ ది తురియం, ద ఫోర్త్ ది సైలెన్స్. ఇట్ ఈస్ అమాత్ర, అమాత్ర ఈజ్ సైలెన్స్. సో దట్ సైలెన్స్ ఈస్ అవ్యవహార్య, ఈజ్ బియాండ్ ఆల్ ట్రాన్సాక్షన్స్. ప్రపంచోపశమ, ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ ద వరల్డ్. శివ, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆస్పిషియస్, మంగళం. అండ్ అద్వైత, ఇట్ ఈస్ నాన్ డ్యూవల్. ఏవం ఓంకార ఆత్మైవ, సో ఓంకార ఈజ్ ద వెరీ ఆత్మా ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్. యహ ఏవం వేద, ద వన్ హూ నోస్ లైక్ దిస్, వాట్ హ్యాపన్స్ టు హిమ్? సంవిశతి ఆత్మానం, హీ ఎంటర్స్ ఇన్ టు ది ఆత్మా బై హిమ్సెల్ఫ్. దిస్ ఈస్ ద 12th మంత్ర. సో నౌ ది ఉపనిషత్ కమ్స్ టు ది సైలెన్స్, ది మెంటల్ సైలెన్స్. వెన్ వి సే సైలెన్స్, ది మెంటల్ సైలెన్స్, దిస్ ఈస్ ద 4th కాంపోనెంట్ ఆఫ్ ఓంకార, విచ్ ఈస్ ద సేమ్ యాజ్ ది 4th క్వార్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ, నేమ్లీ ద తురియం. సో ది సైలెన్స్ దట్ వి ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఈస్ ద తురియం, విచ్ ఈస్ బియాండ్ ఆల్ ట్రాన్సాక్షన్స్. సైలెన్స్ కెనాట్ బి హ్యాండిల్డ్ బై ది ఆర్గన్స్ ఆఫ్ యాక్షన్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆర్ నాలెడ్జ్. Silence cannot be handled by physical, mental or verbal means. The moment you describe silence, what happens? The silence goes away. It is silence in which the world of all forms of sounds have resolved. Turiyam is the substratum wherein all objects, objects is all the padas, the forms, and all sounds, the padarthas, the names and all that, they all have resolved. Shivaha. So, silence is Turiyam, which is Ananda, which is Mangalam, Shivam. So, languages are different, but silence is only one. Whatever may be the language, the silence in Spanish is not different from the silence in Sanskrit. They are same. In silence and Turiyam, division and plurality are not present. They are both Advaitam. What a nice thing. Silence is Advaitam. Silence and Turiyam both are Advaitam. So in this manner, Omkara and Atma are equal in all the levels, various levels that we just saw. So when we talk about the equation of silence and Turiyam, the word silence has a special meaning. We have to understand that clearly. It is not the conventional silence that we are talking about. This is a different silence. The conventional silence is what? Is absence of sound. That should not be taken as Turiyam, because this should not be equated to Turiyam for two reasons. The first reason is what? The conventional silence is taken to mean a mere absence of sound or noise, and so it is a negative entity, absence of something. Absence is not a positive entity. So the first reason is that. So, if this negative description is applied to Turiyam, then what will happen? One will end up with the Buddhist Sunyavada. That Sunyavada teaching is what? The ultimate truth is nothing but emptiness. That is Sunyavada. And the second reason is, conventional silence is experienced only when sound has disappeared. In arrival of sound, conventional silence goes away, and vice versa. So conventional silence is a relative entity subject to arrival and departure. Comparison with conventional silence will make Turiyam a relative entity in that case. So in the first case, it will become shunyam, emptiness. Second case, it will become relative. So amatra, amatra is silence, matra, amatra. That silence should not be taken as the relative silence. When we experience silence externally, it is the absence of sound. And when thoughts and disturbances are absent in the mind, you experience internal silence. Or we call it maybe blankness. So when you experience internal silence and there is blankness, then we have to ask the question, is there only blankness? Other than blankness, there is something else because of which we are aware of the blankness. Blankness is what? Absence of thoughts. So, if the silence is experienced and known by me, It means there is a knowing conscious principle that pervades the silence. That conscious principle, I cannot see, I cannot hear, or I cannot objectify, because that conscious principle is what? Is I am. That pervades and illumines the silence. So the meaning of silence is the conscious principle, consciousness principle that reveals the silence. So that consciousness is amatra. That is the silence. That is equivalent to the conscious principle that reveals the absence of sound. It is not absent in itself, but it reveals the absence. It is not absent in itself, but it reveals the absence. Actually, in Panchadashi, Swami Vidyaranya, he gives a beautiful example of this. He gives the example of the Nataka Deepam. You know, in a Natakam, they have got this Deepam, a light, a lamp. So what that lamp reveals? It reveals the play, the Natakam, on the stage, and also the empty stage after the play is over. Play is over, all actors have gone. The Deepam is still there on the stage. What it reveals? It reveals the empty stage. A non-dancing lamp continues to be on the stage, illumining the absence of all the dancers after the play is over. So the mind is the stage, and thoughts, all our thoughts, they are all the dancers. The thoughts always, they dance. When the thoughts are gone, you say that the mind is blank. But the blankness is revealed by the consciousness principle. That consciousness is not subject to arrival and departure, but it is absolute silence. We are talking about that silence. It illumines the relative sound and the relative silence. That is Turiyam. So whoever understands that he is the Turiyam all the time, he merges into Turiya Atma as one with the Turiya Atma. This is total merger. It is like water merging into water, not salt merging into water. This is moksha. With this moksha benefit, Omkara Vichara is over. And Mandukya Upanishad also is over. So the Upanishad now is concluded. And now Gaudapada, even though the Upanishad is concluded with the 12th mantra, he is not finished with his commentary. Karika 24. Omkaram Padasho Vidyat Padamatrana Samshayaha Omkaram Padasho Jnatva Nakinchidapi Chintayet. Omkaraha Padasho Vidyat. So know Omkara in terms of the quarters of Atma. Pada Matra Na Samshayaha. The four quarters of the Atma are the four letters of Omkara. There is no doubt. Omkaram Padashaha Jnatva. Having known Omkara in terms of the four quarters, na kinchit api chintayet. One should not think of anything else at all once this knowledge comes to. So Gaudapada, he instructs the student to carefully note that the four quarters between Omkara and Atma, how they are. The equation should be understood in totality and in all their four components. The total equation is that what? Omkara is Atma. That is the total equation. And what are the individual equations that we have already seen? The Akara is Vishwa, and Ukara is Taijasa, and Makara is Pragna. Vishwa, Virat, Taijasa, Hiranyagarbha, Pragna, Ishvara. That is individual and total. And the silence is the Turiyam. So these are the four individual equations. So after understanding the four equations clearly, one should practice Nididhyasanam with the Omkara. So Omkara can be used as a support for Nididhyasanam. So how do you meditate now? Chant Om, and when you come to silence, you have to dwell upon the knowledge that there are two components in that silence. We don't think of all these. Recite Om. After reciting Om, you have the silence. And now think of that silence and know that there are two components in that silence. What are the two components? One is silence itself. and the other is consciousness. Then what we do? Turn your attention from silence to that consciousness. So recite Om. After reciting Om, dwell upon the silence. Understand the silence then to constitute two things, namely silence and consciousness. And now turn your attention from silence to consciousness and claim that you are that Turiyam consciousness. This is called silence meditation, meditation on the silence. In fact, any mantra can be used for Nidhyasana. For example, there are many Swamis who use mantras for Nidhyasana. Mantras can be used for Upasana and Nidhyasana, both. Actually, Swami Dayananda Saraswati, he describes how this is done. For example, when you repeat a mantra like Om Namo Narayanaya, okay, you think of your Ishtadevata Narayana and surrender unto that Lord. There you focus on the mantra. When you recite Om Namo Narayanaya, so you focus on the mantra. So this is the meditation in which you give emphasis to the sound of the mantra. Now when you use the very same mantra for Nididhyasanam, after completing Mandukya Upanishad, not before that, because you never knew before that. So once you complete Mandukya Upanishad, then you chant the mantra and focus on the silence between two chantings of the mantra. Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya. So between the two chantings, the silence that is there, now focus on them. You concentrate on that mantra and you gradually come from the mantra to the silence. Then you expand the silence between the two chantings of the mantra. Don't just go on saying Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya and all that. Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya. During that absence, during that break, focus on the silence and relate to the physical silence and also the Turiyam. That is what. So from mantra come to silence, from silence come to consciousness, and from consciousness go to Turiyam. So the same mantra is used for Upasana or Nididhyasana. So in this meditation, one comes to what? The silence awareness, the so-called silence awareness. I am never affected by silence and sound also. Whatever may happen around me, nothing happens to me. May I abide in that Turiyam, focusing in that silence and the consciousness. Karika 25. Yunjita pranave chetaha pranavo brahma nirbhayam pranave nitya yuktasya na bhayam vidyate kvachit. Yunjita pranave chetaha. So a person should fix the mind on Omkara. Pranave chetaha, mind. Pranave, on Omkara. Pranavo brahma nirbhayam. Omkara is fearless Brahman. Its embodiment is the representation of fearless Brahman. Pranave nitya yuktasya. Why fearless Brahman? There is Advaitam. There is no two. There is nothing like a second thing to be afraid of. Pranave nitya yuktasya. For one who is ever established in Omkara, pranave nitya yuktasya, nabhayam vidyate kvachite. There is no fear from anywhere. Nabhayam. So Gaudapada Acharya, he says that we should practice Omkara meditation regularly because Omkara is Brahman. The sound part represents the Sagunam Brahman and the silence part represents the Nirgunam Brahman. So in Omkara, in that silence, the sound part, actually that portion of it, that represents the Sagunam Brahman. The Nirgunam part is the silence part. So Brahman is the only source of security. Anything else you hold on to will be either Vishwa or Taijasarinyados, which are time bound and there is no security in them. They are subject to arrival and departure. Time will affect everything but will not reach Turiyam Brahman. For a person who is ever abiding in the pranava, the Omkara, and remembering the knowledge of Omkara, even during the most provoking transactions in life, those transactions, I should not say, should not come to a person. Depending on the prarabdha, any kind of situations can arise, they can come. Most provoking situations can come. But this person, he does not feel insecurity at all in any place, at any time, or in any situation. Non forgetting this knowledge is abiding in Brahman. All the time, it should be like the sthayi bhava, as I mentioned earlier. It should be there in the subconscious mind all the time. Fear is samsara and fearlessness is moksha. Nabhayam. Karika 26. Pranavo hyaparam brahma pranavascha parasmrutaha apurvo nantaro bahyaha anapara pranavo vyayaha. So pranavaha hyaparam brahma pranavascha paraha smrutaha. Indeed, pranavahi, pranava, indeed, Omkara is the lower Brahman and Omkara is known to be the higher Brahman also, lower, higher and all, we'll talk. And apurvaha, anantaraha, abahyaha, anaparaha, pranavaha, avyayaha. Pranavaha, Omkaraha, is apurvaha, there is nothing pooram to that, there is no cause. It is a causeless cause. It is without inside, anantaraha. Abhyaha, without outside. Anaparaha, it has no effect. No, it's not an effect or it's not a cause or effect, it's not an effect. And avyayaha, it is without any decay also. So the Upanishad uses the word Omkara. And Gaudapada Acharya also started the discussion with Omkara in the 24th Karika, if you remember. But from 25th onwards, he replaces the word Omkara with the word Pranava. And this word is not used in the Upanishad. As you noticed, in the 12th canto also, this word was not used by the Upanishad. It is a synonym for Omkara used in other Upanishads. So the meaning of Pranava is what? It is a perfect name. Omkara means, Pranava means a perfect name. It's an ideal name, a suitable name. So for Brahman or God, the ideal name is Omkara. That is why Omkara is called Pranava. God is one and Om is also one syllable. Brahman is Saguna and Nirguna. Omkara also is Saguna and Nirguna. Saguna is the three letters, Nirguna is the silence. The sound part of Omkara is Saguna. And the silent part of Omkara is Nirguna. So in all respects, Omkara and Brahman are identical. So Om is the ideal name for Brahman. Pranava for Brahman. So Nirgunam Brahman is without a cause and effect, without any second thing internally or externally, and without degeneration or declension. So Omkara can be used for Saguna or Nirguna Dhyanam. Karika 27. Sarvasya Pranavo Hyadihi Madhyamantas Tathaivacha Yevam hi pranavam nyatva vyashnute tadanantaram. So sarvasya pranavaha adihi madhyam antaschaiva. So Omkara is indeed the beginning, adi, middle, madhyam, and also the end, antaschaiva. Yevam hi pranavam nyatva, having known Omkara in this manner, yevam Vishnute tadanantaram, one certainly attains that immediately. Vishnute, this Nirguna Omkara is without cause and effect. But when Maya is associated with Nirgunam Brahma, it is called Sagunam Brahma. Without Maya, it is Nirguna. With association of Maya, it becomes Sagunam Brahma. Brahman then becomes the cause. Once you accept Maya, do we have not done duality? This discussion we have gone many times earlier. We have done this. Remember that Advaita means that there is no second absolute reality. The word absolute is important. Brahman is the only absolute reality. And when Maya is accommodated, it is not accommodated as absolute reality, but as an empirical reality, relative reality. Maya cannot just be counted as the second. So even with Maya, Brahman continues to be Advaitam. Because Maya doesn't have an existence of its own. Due to the association with Maya, Brahman becomes the cause of creation, sustenance, dissolution, all those. So the meditation should be what? I am the Nirguna Chaitanyam, Nirguna Consciousness. I myself become Ishvara when associated with Maya. As Ishvara, I alone am the cause of creation, sustenance, dissolution, laya. With Maya Shakti, I create the world, the waking universe. And with the Nidra Shakti, I create the dream universe. Understanding the pranava in this manner, a person attains that Brahman. Omkara immediately he attains. So knowing Omkara, one knows that he is Brahman. How does the dreamer know the waker? How does the dreamer know the waker? Only upon waking. He knows the waker by realizing that he is the waker. There is no other thing other than him as waker. So one wakes up to the waker, his own wakerhood. Karika 28. Pranavam Ishwaram Vidyat Sarvasya Hridi Samsthitam Sarvavyapinam Omkaram Matvadhiro Na Shochati. So pranavam Ishwaram Vidyat. One should know Omkara to be indeed Lord Ishwara himself. Sarvasya Hridi Nishtha Samsthitam, who is present in the hearts of all, that Ishvara is present in the hearts of everyone. Sarvavyapinam Omkaram Matva, having known the all-pervading Omkara, Sarvavyapinam Omkaram, Dhiraha Na Shochati, a discriminative person, Dhiraha, a Viveki, he does not Shochati, he does not grieve. The silent part of Omkara is Ishvara or Brahman. That Brahman resides in the heart, in the mind of everyone, witnessing the presence and absence of thoughts. So the non-arriving and non-departing consciousness that witnesses the arrival and departure of all thoughts in the mind is the Turiyam Brahman. Saying that Brahman is in the heart presents a problem also, that Brahman is finite. Because we always think, you know, the heart is only like this size and all that. So then the Brahman becomes finite. So the Karika says, Brahman is in the heart of everyone and everywhere also. It is present as the witness consciousness in the minds of all. And it is everywhere. So knowing Brahman as myself is liberating knowledge. So people generally say that they have knowledge and understanding, but they do not have realization. That means what? They are not able to yet accept that knowledge is realization. There is no realization other than this knowledge. An unqualified student is not able to accept the knowledge as realization. Whether one accepts knowledge as realization or not, it depends on what? One's own qualifications. The person who understands that this knowledge is liberating knowledge has no more grief in life. He is already liberated. Karika 29. Amatre enanta matrascha dvaitasyopashama shivaha omkaro vidito yena samunirneta rojanaha. Amatre ananta matrascha. So Omkara is without sound and with infinite sounds, Anantam. So Dvaita Shopa Samaha, it is ground of dissolution of duality. And Shivaha, it is auspicious, Mangalam. Saha Munihi Omkara Viditaha Yena. A sage Munihi is one by whom Omkara is known. Na itaraha, not any other person. Only such a person will know Omkara. So all these karikas 24 to 29 are commentary on the 12th mantra dealing with amatra. If you remember, amatra, silence. Akara, ukara, makara are matras. This is amatra silence. Here Gaudapada specifically comments on amatra and he concludes. Amatra is the silence at the end of the Omkara, we said earlier, which is nothing but the consciousness principle. So it is without any limit for its boundary. For a sound, there is a spatial limitation, there is a time-wise limitation, there are boundaries. But for silence, there is no limitation. The silence is infinite in its measurement. It is the ultimate reality where all the dualities are absent. For example, Vishwa Virat, Taijasa Hiranyagarbha, Prajna Ishwara, all of them are absent. These pairs are resolved in Turiyam. It is Mangala, or of the nature of bliss, Ananda. Whoever knows Omkara completely, he alone knows this is, he is the real Munihi. Not necessarily the one who is wearing all these akar robes. This person only is a real Muni. So with this, the 29th Karika, Gaudapada's commentary on Mandukya Upanishad is over. So the rest of the Karikas are Gaudapada's further analysis of the teachings. They are found in chapters 2, 3 and 4 of the Karika. So now we are going to see only the Karikas from now on. Now that the Upanishad is concluded with the 12th mantra and also the Karikas which Gaudapada Acharya has given up to here, let us just summarize for the sake of our clarity the entire thing, whatever we have learned so far in the Upanishad. So this chapter 1 of the Upanishad is actually, says what it does, the Mandukya Karika, actually we said at that time it has got four chapters. The first chapter is titled Agama Prakarana. This chapter consists of the entire Mandukya Upanishad, the 12 mantras, and also the analysis of the Upanishads done in 29 Karikas, which we just concluded by Acharya Gaudapada. And of these two portions, the Upanishad is important, Upanishad and Karika. Upanishad is important and Karika is only a commentary on the Upanishad. So due to the importance of the Upanishad in this chapter, the title of the chapter is given as Agama Prakarana. Agama means Vedas or Upanishads. And the rest of the chapters, they do not contain any Upanishad. So this is Agama Prakarana because this alone talks about the Upanishad portion. Others are not talking about Upanishad portion. There is no sloka of Upanishad in those. So first, the Upanishad will be summarized and later the Karikas will summarize them. So first, the introduction of the subject matter is done here. The Omkara Vichara and Atma Vichara in the first two shlokas. Of the 12 mantras of the Upanishad, the first two mantras, they introduce the subject matter. So the first mantra introduces what? Omkara Vichara as the means to the knowledge of truth, reality. And the second mantra introduces Atma Vichara as the means of the knowledge of the truth again. So Vichara means inquiry or analysis. So having introduced the two inquiries, the Upanishad takes up the Atma Vichara first from the 3rd to the 7th mantra. And Omkara Vichara is conducted from the 8th to the 12th mantra. So this is how the actual layout. And the first three quarters of the Atmas, it is talked about in Shlokas 3 to 6. In Atma Vichara, the Upanishad points out that Atma has four portions or versions, quarters. Atma means the self, I, the experiencer of everything, the conscious principle. So whatever I experience will come under Anatma, very important factor. Whatever I experience will come under Anatma. The entire world is Anatma. The body, mind, they also come under experience Anatma. There is a very important principle applied in Mandukya uniquely. That principle is what? That should be kept throughout in the mind, in the study of Upanishad. Fundamental principle is that the experiencer exists independently and does not depend on any other thing. Whereas the experienced object, it can prove its existence only through the experiencer. The entire Anatma does not exist independently and comes under Mithya category. The observer is Satyam. The observed is Mithya. Anything observed is Mithya. Thus, Atma, the observer, is Satyam, and Anatma, the observed, including body, mind, is Mithya. Then the Upanishad divides Anatma into three: the experience in the waking state, experience in the dream state, and experience in the deep sleep state. In the waking state, Anatma experience is in the form of gross body and gross universe in the waking state. In the dream state, Anatma is subtle body and subtle universe. And in the deep sleep state, Anatma is causal body and causal universe, both in dormant form and manifest form. So Anatma has been divided into gross body and gross universe, subtle body, subtle universe, and causal body, causal universe. I, the Atma, am associated with gross body and gross universe in the waking state. with the subtle body and subtle universe in the dream state, and the causal body and causal universe in the sleep state. Atma is given three different names based on the three different associations. So the names of the Atma are what? First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, in the waking, in the dream, and in the deep sleep state respectively. So these quarters are then divided in each state according to the microcosmic and macrocosmic entities in each quarter. So these divisions of the four quarters are what now? Vishwa and Virat. Vishwa is microscopic, Virat is macroscopic. Taijasa, that is given in mantra 3. Taijasa and Hiranyagarbha, again microscopic and macroscopic, mantra 4. Prajna and Ishwara, again microscopic and macroscopic, in mantras 5 and 6. So for the first, second and third quarters respectively. Now definition of Turiya, that is the fourth quarter, what is that? So if the three associations result in Vishwa, Taijasa and Prajna, then what is Turiya? What association does Turiyam have? Turiyam is the name of the Atma when it is dissociated from the three states. I myself as conscious principle am Turiyam. How do I become Turiyam? By dissociating from the three states. And how does this dissociation be done? It cannot be done experientially, because whatever I do, I will be in one of the three states, and even in sleep or in coma, I will be in one of the three. Logically, the separation is not possible because Atma is all pervasive. So Gaudapada Acharya says that there is another type of dissociation that is unique to Vedanta. If this is understood, Vedanta is understood. That method of dissociation is by the knowledge that I, the observer Atma, am Satyam, and everything else is Anatma Mithya. And that Anatma Mithya can never have any connection or association with Satyam, even though it seems to be connected. For example, in the presence of the red flower, we gave this example during our discussion earlier. So in the presence of a red flower, a crystal, pure crystal, appears to be red in color. How can the red color be removed from the crystal without removing the flower? The normal answer is what? It is not possible. Vedanta says it is possible by understanding that the crystal does not have red color and is only an appearance. Since the red color is only an appearance, the crystal can continue to appear red, but the colorless nature of the crystal is not affected. Nothing needs to be done to remove the red color from the crystal. This freedom is freedom through knowledge. Similarly, I, the Atma, am like the crystal. I seem to appear as Vishwa, as Taijasa and Prajna. Even when the attributes appear in me, I am free from all these three at all times. I am Turiyam, appearing as Vishwa, Taijasa and Prajna, which are not factual. This knowledge is enough to become Turiyam. To become Turiyam means, again, become should be within inverted commas. I am Turiyam all the time. I don't have to become Turiyam. This knowledge is given in the seventh mantra, that beautiful mantra. That is a very, very popular mantra that we read on that day, seventh mantra. So it gives the definition of Turiyam, and is the most important mantra in the Upanishad. Nanta pragyam, na bhagish pragyam, no bhagyada pragyam, na pragyam, pragyana ganam, na pragyam, na pragyam. That beautiful mantra, that is the seventh mantra. So of this definition, two words are most important in that mantra, prapanchopashamam and advaitam. These two mantras, these two words are there in that mantra, in that seventh mantra. Prapanchopashamam and advaitam. So prapanchopashamam means what? Free from the world. Turiyam is free from the world consisting of the three pairs of the first three quarters. These pairs are absent in Turiyam. So Turiyam is Advaitam, without a second entity. We should note that the Turiyam is free from the world, but not experientially. We should be careful. It is free from the world, all right, but not experientially. Experiential world will continue. Similar to what? To the redness of the crystal. The red color will continue even when I say that the crystal is colorless. Even when I negate the blue sky, the appearance and its experience continues. Similarly, I, the Turiyam, am without a second thing even when I experience the world, because the world is mithya. Mithya is as good as not there. Then the Upanishad said that this is the Turiya Atma to be known for liberation. So without knowledge, liberation is never possible. As Vishwa and Taijasa, I will be a doer, karta, bhokta, all that I will be. Sanchita karma will be there. Prarabdha karma will exhaust. In the process, I will also accumulate lot of agami karmas. At the time of death, agami will also add to the Sanchita karma balance. And another portion of Sanchita will fructify. It will give rise to another birth. Again, same cycle continues. So, the karma flow will keep on going. As Vishwa and Taijasa, no freedom is possible. Only as Turiyam, I can claim that I am free all the time. Therefore, the Upanishad says that I have to know my Turiyam nature. No other method will give liberation. So, with this, Atma Vichara is over. Now, the Upanishad will take up the Omkara Vichara, the second topic, from mantras 8 to 12. So, from the 8th mantra to the 12th mantra, Omkara Vichara is done. Omkara has four matras: Akara, Ukara, Makara, and silence. The Upanishad introduces the total Omkara and equates the total Omkara with the total Atma. Thereafter, the components are equated. The first three matras of Omkara are equated to the three quarters of Atma respectively, and the silence is equated to Turiyam. Interestingly, the Upanishad introduces three forms of meditation as a side topic: meditation on Virat as Akara, meditation on Hiranyagarbha as Ukara, and on Ishvara as Makara. They are all prescribed. The matras are taken as symbols for meditation. The Upanishad gives, we know the symbol, we have introduced this word long ago, as alambanam. So the Upanishad gives the logic for the equations in the form of two common features for each. Akara equation with Virat is based on pervasiveness and primacy. I'm just only refreshing. Ukara equation is based on, Ukara equation is what? With Hiranyagarbha, is based on superiority and middleness. And Makara equation with Ishvara, that is based on being similar to the measure and the ground of laya or dissolution. So the three matras are representatives of the three quarters. Now the silence that comes after the three matras, that is discussed. In silence, there is not nothing, but consciousness is present, revealing the silence. Silence represents the witness consciousness by implication, and therefore that silence must be equated to Turiyam, which is none other than Brahman. It should be noted that Akara, Ukara, and Makara, they represent Virat, Hiranyagarbha, and Ishvara respectively, but silence does not represent Brahman. But silence is what? Silence is Brahman. It does not represent Brahman, but it is Brahman, which is myself, the Atma. So through these equations, Omkara Vichara is completed. So the important topics covered in the Karikas, what are those? These are all in the Upanishad. So in the Karikas, what are the topics covered now? Some of the important topics, they are Gaudapada Acharya, he prominently discusses three mantras of the Upanishad. The sixth mantra defining Ishvara or Prajna. So Karikas 6, 9, 17, 18, they all talk about the sixth mantra. And in this mantra, Ishvara is defined as the cause of the creation, both the intelligent cause and the material cause. Sarveshwaraha, Sarvajnaha, all those were given in that mantra. That means the intelligent cause. And Yesha Yonihi Sarvasya Prabhavapyaya. So that refers to the material cause. So both the intelligent cause and material cause are provided there. And he makes a brief analysis of the creation. whenever we talk about the creation of the world, the question is what? Why Bhagavan created the world? That will come up naturally. How did Bhagavan create the world? When did Bhagavan create the world? What is the purpose of this creation of the world? All those questions will come. The moment one accepts the creation of the world, many questions will come up and no answer will be satisfactory. In stating that the usual answers given like Bhagavan creates out of his will, creates for his own entertainment, so kamayata, bhagusyam praja, yeyeti, all that. Gaudapada says, these questions, they come up since one thinks that world was created at a particular time. He says that the world has not been created because nothing can be created. An existent thing cannot be created because it is existent. A non-existent thing cannot be created because it is non-existent. We can never talk about the arrival of the world. The world is always with Brahman. It has never been created and it has always been there. Matter can never be created nor destroyed. This world has always existed eternally, either in potential form or in active form, in unmanifest form or manifest form. The active form of creation is called world. That is the manifest form. And the potential dormant form is called Maya. Maya is with Brahman all the time. The most important point is that Maya or the world that is always with Brahman is Mithya. And so it cannot contaminate Brahman. It ever exists in Brahman, but it never contaminates Brahman. Like movie, it cannot contaminate the screen. Screen is always present. Movie goes on the screen. It cannot contaminate the screen. That Brahman I am, and creation is my very nature. And the second important point is, a comparative study of the four quarters of the Atma that with respect to the seventh mantra that is done in the Karikas 2 to 5, 10 and 16 also. So Gaudapada Acharya, he makes the observation that in waking state, Vishwa has two problems. The waker is ignorant of the fact that he is Turiyam all the time. And because of this ignorance, he mistakes himself to be an individual doer and experience, karta bhokta, doer and experiencer. Ignorance is followed by misconception. If you understand all that, I mentioned very clearly during that topic. Ignorance is followed by misconception in the waking state. So, ajnanam, agrahanam, nidra and karanam, they are the four names given for ignorance. And ahankara, anyata grahanam, swapna and karyam are four names for misconception. So ignorance, misconception. Ajnanam, agrahanam, nidra, karanam. Ignorance. Ahankara, anyata grahanam, swapna, karyam, they are misconception. Vishwa and Taijasa both have ignorance and misconception in the waking state and in the dream state. Both have ignorance and misconception. Prajna has ignorance and the sleeper does not have any misconception at all. There is no samsara for the sleeper. Ignorance followed by mistake is the problem. Ignorance by itself may be blissful, but followed by mistake, error. Turiyam is ever free from ignorance and mistake. Therefore, to become Turiyam, one has to remove ignorance and mistake by gaining knowledge. Then the understanding will be that one is Turiyam all the time. So every Jnani is equated to Turiyam. Every Ajnani is equated to Vishwa, Taijasa or Prajna. Knowledge is claiming what? I am Turiyam, and that knowledge is the only solution for samsara. There is no other solution. And the third aspect is Vedantic meditation with reference to mantra 12, important. So Karikas 24 to 29, they talked about that. So Gaudapada Acharya, what he does, he analyzes, I'll take maybe a couple of minutes more and finish it. So Gaudapada Acharya, he analyzes the 12th mantra and does the Amatra Vichara, wherein he talks about Omkara Dhyana as a type of Nididhyasana, Omkara Dhyana, Vedantic meditation. For this meditation, Shravanam and Mananam of the entire Upanishad must have been done already. That is the prerequisite. So how is the Nididhyasana practice, Vedantic meditation? I chant the Omkara, visualizing the entire universe as arising out of myself. At the time of Omkara chanting, the world arises and rests in me. And when the chanting is ended with the world resolves into me. So the silence then follows. So initially Omkara is longer, silence is shorter. And gradually the silence is made longer and longer. So having come to silence, I should ask whether this silence is experienced or not. Look at the analysis. This silence is experienced, and so there is consciousness because of which silence is known. From the silence, I turn my attention to the witness of the silence, which is the conscious principle. Then I ask the question, how can I see the witness consciousness? The answer is what? I cannot see the witness consciousness because I am the witness consciousness. From silence, I come to consciousness. And from that consciousness, I come to I, the witness consciousness. Then I claim I am that consciousness, Turiyam. And what type of Turiyam? Again, going back to the seventh mantra, it is understood that the rise and fall of the creation continuously happens in me, the Turiyam. Even when all the things happen, what happens to me? Just like the colorless crystal is never contaminated by the flower's color, even when the flower's color appears on it. I am never contaminated when the rise and fall of creation appears in me. I am the uncontaminated, non-dual consciousness, Turiyam. I allow everything to happen in me, remembering that I am ever free, like the movie screen. I should practice Omkara Dhyanam regularly. How long? The dhyanam is a reminder of my true nature. And so the dhyanam should be practiced until I cannot forget. Once I am established in my own nature, I will not forget my true nature in and through all the transactions and will not claim any doership or enjoyership. This is Jivan Mukti. With this Gaudavacharya, he finishes his Omkara analysis and the first chapter of Mandukya Karika. Now we will start with the second chapter of Mandukya Karika, the Vaitatya Prakaranam, in the next webinar. Yo Vedadav Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishthitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Parasamaheshwaraha Shri Krishna Namaste Narayana.